Good morning, Amazing Grace. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the souls gathered here today. And just ask that you bless this time as we gather to worship you and hear your word, which brings us power and wisdom. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive that power and that wisdom this morning. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my sermon title today is Perpetual Pentecost. And I will explain that to you here shortly. Amen. I'd like to start off with a poem by a gentleman named Rick Kirchhoff. It's called Amazing Things Happen. When God sends forth the Spirit, amazing things happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed. And church happens. Today, the Spirit of God is present, and we're going to have church. So get ready. Be ready. God is up to something. Discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folk, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folk, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. And pure potatoes, please stand up. But most of all, Christ the Savior of all the world is to be lifted up. Amen? Amen. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Amen? It heals us. It empowers us. It unites us. And it works through us to be the light in the world that brings glory to God through Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's what it did at Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago, and that's what it does today when we receive it into our hearts. Now remember, chapter 1, we talked about the 40 days of Jesus, of his ministry after the resurrection. He taught them all about the kingdom. He gave them their messages that were to be delivered to all people. Amen? And to be delivered to the ends of the earth. And then in verse 8, Jesus tells them, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then he would leave them. But after the ascension, as they waited, they had to choose another to take the place of Judas. There were some debates. But Peter would take charge, and God's word and God's will would compel them to make the right choice. And the right choice, by the roll of the dice, by the casting of lots, would be Matthias. Now remember, they were back in Jerusalem doing what Jesus had told them to do. They were waiting on the promise to come upon them in that upper room. They were waiting. 120 of them in constant prayer waiting for that promise. This would be the beginning of the church, and it wasn't going to be easy for them. Amen? In fact, many of them would die for their faith at some point. But the benefits, just like for us, would be out of this world. First verse says, when the day of Pentecost came, verse 1, they were all together in one place. The word Pentecost in the Greek means 50th. It was called this because it marked the 50th day after the second day of the Passover. There were 7 weeks plus one day. It was 50 days. Originally, it was called the Feast of Weeks, and it celebrated the first gathering of the wheat harvest. And it is where we get the term first fruits from as well. So when the church was gathered in Acts chapter 2, and this would all happen 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, The church was gathered after 50 days, and our Lord had spent, remember, our Lord had spent 40 days, amen? He had spent 40 days after the resurrection in his resurrected body with the disciples. Then he would ascend to heaven. Then the disciples would have to wait 10 more days for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. This verse also says that they were together in one place, meaning they were together physically in one place. And I believe that upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, the same upper room where they had been hiding from the Jews after the resurrection, and the room where Jesus appeared to them and ate with them, is the same room that they were waiting for the Holy Spirit in. Now this must have been some MTV Cribs type of room, or maybe a warehouse, because it says there were 120 of them in that room. They were all together. They were all together physically and spiritually as they prayed and they waited. It was not just about them all being in the same place though at the same time, but it was about the love they had for each other and for Jesus. They were the body. They were the church. You see, the church is not a place. The church is the people, all of us. And that's why it's so important for us to be in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. A few hours, maybe even a few days of watching TBN is not a substitute for being here with your church family. Amen? There were a lot of people that stayed home for church during the pandemic. Some never came back. Now, if you know our church and have been around here long enough, you know that we are, for the most part, not fans of being told that we have to wear masks or that we have to stay home on Sunday. Sure, when they were threatening to throw us pastors into jail, we eventually shut down for 4 weeks. I remember preaching to an empty church, and I pray that never happens again, because the church has to be physically together to be the church. And isolation is never a good thing for any of us, especially for the young and those in recovery. We heard all the horrible statistics during the pandemic of suicide and overdoses. Matter of fact, Harvard School of Public Health said in 2021, in the midst of the pandemic, they said, people who attended religious services at least once a week were significantly less likely to die from death or despair, including deaths related to suicide, drug overdose, and alcohol poisoning. The statistics were horrible. It's never a good thing to isolate. So they all came together in one place for fellowship. And in verse 2 it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Remember what Jesus told his disciples at the end of Luke's gospel. He said, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That was the promise. And this chapter that we're studying today in Acts is the fulfillment of that promise. Amen? This is Pentecost. Next to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Pentecost is the most important day in the church's history. This is where he would baptize believers into the body of Christ, and where he would fill them with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Pentecost was a one-time event. It was the birth of the church. We may have revival, but the church does not have to be reborn. It was a one-time event, but it is also a perpetual event, because the empowering of the Holy Spirit for all of us as believers should be a regular event. Paul would tell the Ephesians to be constantly refilled by the Holy Spirit, to put on the full armor of God. And that is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. which is the Word of God. And this weapon belongs to the Holy Spirit. And in order to do spiritual work and spiritual warfare, we need to be constantly filled by the Holy Spirit, a perpetual Pentecost, if you will. Now, verse 2 would say that suddenly a sound came from heaven that filled the house, and it sounded like a violent wind. This might sound unusual to associate the Holy Spirit with the wind, but there are two very good explanations for this. Number one, the Greek and Hebrew words for spirit, Holy Spirit, are pneuma and ruach, which means breath or wind. That's number one. Number two, Scripture. Scripture, amen? In John 3:8, it says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." There's the wind. John 20:22 says, "And with that he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit." There's the breath. There's the wind. There's the breath. The wind was a symbol of the presence and the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then, in verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, right? We've seen all the pictures. Tongues of fire that came to rest on each of them. But why fire? Why did they use fire? Why was fire the symbol? Because it was a symbol of the power of God. Amen? Just like the burning bush speaking to Moses, or the pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness, fire was a symbol of the power of God. And then in verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in tongues. This was not some mumbling, muffled sound that nobody could understand. These were human languages they were speaking, human dialects that others could understand. And when we get to verse 8, they're going to say, well, how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Speaking about the Galileans, amen? How is it that we hear them in our native language? And then the language thing kind of reminded me of something from the book of Genesis in chapter 11 concerning their languages. Remember in chapter 11, the people all spoke one language and they decided that they want to build a tower to heaven. Remember that? Tower of Babel, right? And that's in chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read that to you. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and break and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there all over the whole earth, and they stopped building a city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." So God confused their language because of their disobedience. He had told them in chapter 9 to be fruitful and fill the earth, but they wanted to stay together. They wanted to take things into their own hands and build a tower to heaven rather than obey the Lord's commands. And because of this, God would confuse their language, and they could not communicate with each other because of this language barrier. They were trying to reach God, amen, with this tower. But at Pentecost, God, in his time, would reach down to the earth. It was the reverse. God was still using their language, but for his will. Amen. God uses everything for his good. And because of this, the gospel would be taken out to the whole world. All races, all languages, all cultures, and all tribes. Pentecost would speak to all in the gospel, so that the gospel could be for all. The speaking of tongues was necessary. It was a necessary outpouring of the Holy Spirit to establish the early church. And verse 5 says, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. You see, there were thousands of people from other lands that had traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover. First the Passover, amen, and now Pentecost. They were waiting for their Pentecost. They were perhaps outside of this upper room, amen, and they heard the disciples, or the Galileans, if you will, speaking in their tongues and other languages, and this would attract them to this amazing event of Pentecost. And verse 6 says, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. So the crowd came about because of the sound, right? Not just the languages, but remember the sound of the rushing wind. And when they arrived, they were confused. And remember, there were thousands of them, okay? And we know that for sure because when they were done, 3,000 people would be added to their number. 3,000 people would be saved that day. This was the birth of the church. And verse 7 says, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? We got the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them all declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. They heard them speaking the wonders of God. All of these people had gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, and God allows these believers to give out a message in all these different languages. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Amen. The gift of tongues that they were using at Pentecost, that's not the same gift of tongues that most people are using today. Amen? It was supposed to be the ability to speak a language you do not know to speak to God, or to proclaim the wonderful works of God. So if you have the gift of tongues today, I for one do not. Maybe God will gift it to me someday. But if you have the gift of tongues, then be sure you're using it to speak to God. Amen? Or to proclaim the power of Jesus to others through prayer. For what good is it to speak to someone in tongues unless you interpret what you were saying? Now, there are interpreters, amen? There are interpreters, but Paul explains it great in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I thank God that I can speak in tongues, he said, more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. There it is. Amen. There is a time and a place for everything under the heavens. But our salvation is most important. And then in verse 12 it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Heard that before. Amen. They were saying, what's going on here? These people must be drunk. All this knowledge and different languages coming from these common Galileans, they must be drunk. You see, Galileans were looked down upon, amen, in that region at that time. Galileans were looked down upon as the common people, right? Next week, we're going to see that Peter is going to stand up. After they say they must be drunk, he's going to stand up for his brothers who are speaking in tongues and for himself. He's going to say, excuse me, We're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And then he's going to begin to quote the prophet Joel, and he's going to talk about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And he's going to quote David as well. And at that point, they're going to say to themselves, uh-oh, we killed the Messiah. But I'm going to leave that for next week, Pastor Rolf. Amen? Amen. So now we understand that the role of the Holy Spirit for unbelievers, okay, is to convict them of their sins that they may turn to Christ. How many of us have been convicted of our sins that we may turn, that we turn to Christ? Amen? And for believers, the Holy Spirit would regenerate us. Amen? We'd be born again. The Holy Spirit will indwell himself in us. The Holy Spirit would be baptized by the Holy Spirit in the power of Christ. And through the Spirit, we receive our spiritual gifts. Amen? And lastly, the Holy Spirit will seal us and protect us. If we're born again and have received His Spirit, then we are a new being. Amen? We are a new person. We must live as a new person. God lives in you now, and you have been placed in the body of Christ. You have been gifted by the Holy Spirit, so use those gifts for His good. Amen? You've been filled by the Holy Spirit and taught by the Holy Spirit, so live in the power of the Holy Spirit so that none of us will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? Remember, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. We cannot and do not serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, that Holy Spirit power is a person. Amen? It's a person that lives inside of us as believers. We must also, though, fulfill our role as the church. From the time the church was formed, the very beginning of the church, it says, they stepped out and proclaimed the message of Christ. This is a picture of us at the revival. This is what the church is about. Amen? Laying on hands, praying for others, worshiping the one true King. That's exactly what we're called to do today. We must step out in the power of Christ and proclaim the gospel to everyone we meet. Amen? Whether we're at work, at church, at home, at a concert, at a restaurant, wherever we're at, we must represent the message of Christ, not only by our words, but by our actions as well. By everything we do, people are watching us. Amen? By everything we do, by our actions. And remember, we do this in the strength, in His strength, not in ours. We receive His power daily by living in a perpetual Pentecost. So praise God. God's peace be with each of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us pray. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this message and reminder that we do everything we do, Lord, in your power, Father God. That we can do all things in your name. That we can do all things through Christ. Thank you, Father. We ask that you protect us, Lord. Watch over us. Continue to use us all in a mighty way, Father God. May we build your church. And may we be the light in the world and an example in everything we say and everything we do. And may everything we do bring glory to your name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.